Hello, everybody, and Happy New Year, or at least at this point, happy first Sunday in 2018. I'm Bob Sherman, and Michael Jonathan is here to help me kick off my 50th year with the folk songs of Woody's Children. It worked out very nicely last year, so I figured let's do it again. Each of our four Sundays in January will feature a live studio session. And I've used Michael Jonathan's recordings many times over the years, but now he's here, and Michael, you're up first. So hello, welcome, greetings.
Bob, it's so nice to be able to meet you in person. You're one of the legacy folk music hosts in North America, and congratulations on 49 years.
Well, thank you so much. But listen, you're in Kentucky. How do you know anything
about...
Well,
I'm a New Yorker. I grew up in along the Hudson River in Beacon, New York.
Oh, really? So
yeah.
You're a neighbor of Pete's.
Well, actually, I was his neighbor on the mountain along 9D. When I grew up, Pete was... He was just a pleasant fellow. He claimed to be a musician, but he played the banjo. And to us young rock and roll kids, of course, you know, if you can't plug it in, it's not a real instrument. And he used to show up at my school in Beacon with an axe every time there was a thunderstorm, which even when I was a kid, having an old dude on your school property with an axe was very disconcerting. But I became had an offer to become a DJ on the Mexican border. You have to picture this, Bob. I grew up in Beacon where the Hudson River is like a mile wide. So I moved to Laredo, Texas, hearing for years about the Rio Grande River and people swimming across to freedom into America. And I get there, and it's a freaking creek. It's a creek. I grew up along the Hudson, but this thing was a creek. And about 3 in the morning, several months into my little midnight to 6 a.m. gig, that I had to play what was called an oldies record. And it was, I'd happened to pull out Roger McGuinn and the Birds, Turn, 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 To Everything, Turn, Turn, Turn. I noticed on the song information that it was written by my crazy neighbor. And I was like, oh, that's who Pete Seeger is.
That's incredible. You grew up next door and you didn't know anything?
Had no clue. I called him up. I said, Pete, it's Michael from next door. I just found out you're Pete Seeger. And there's this long pause. He goes, well, I have been all my life.
Well, you tell a marvelous story about naming your house for Pete, and there's all that. I don't know how much we can get to.
There's a lot.
But, yeah, there is a lot because Michael, first of all, has written several books, several plays. He's written an opera on Woody Guthrie, of all things. Maybe we'll get to sample that. His own program, because he does a radio show, too, you know, I'm not the only one.
That's right.
But how long has Wood's Songs been on the air?
Well, we sell, you know, I just talked about Roger McGuinn and his inspiration with Turn, Turn, Turn. Roger McGuinn was our special guest for the 900th broadcast of Wood's Songs just a couple weeks before you and I are taping this this show. So it's been around for a while. Wood's Songs airs on 515 different radio stations from Australia to Ireland. It airs on American Forces Radio Network in 173 nations from South Korea to Kuwait, plus every military base, every U.S. naval ship in the world.
And there are some TV opportunities here in New York.
Yeah, 96 million homes on public television, including the New York area, and now on the RFD television network nationwide, which makes Wood Songs available on all Dish and DirecTV and Cox and Spectrum and... You know, all those big cable systems. So it's a big folk show.
All right, let me ask you.
We are in the shadow of Bob Sherman.
Oh, hardly. But let me ask you more about that after you sing something, because
sure.
We want to welcome our listeners with song.
Well, I was going to let me start with a bit of Ireland.
Oh, all
a
right.
little Irish, a little unexpected. This is a beautiful song written about a series of letters. That were discovered, a young Irish peasant moved to the big city of London to seek his fortune and wrote back home to his fiancée, Mary, in Ireland. Beautiful tune. Nice way to start out 2018. Oh, Mary, this London is such a wonderful sight. All the people here working by day and by night. They don't sow potatoes or barley or wheat, and there's gangs of 'em digging for gold in the street. Well, at least when I asked them, that's what I was told. So I took a hand at all this digging for gold. But all that I found there, I might as well be where the mountains of morn sweep down to the sea. With regards to those questions in your letters that you asked, as to how those fine ladies of London were dressed, well, if you believe me, but when asked to a ball, you know they don't wear no tops to their dresses at all. Oh yes, I've seen them myself, and you could not in truth tell it if they were bound for a ball or a bath. So don't be starting those fashions now, Mary McCree, where the mountains of morn sweep down to the sea.
Lovely song indeed. Mountains of Morn, sung here in the studio by Michael Jonathan.
The abbreviated version.
Well, yeah, all right. But we've got lots to cover.
Yeah,
here,
well.
So. Now, when we left you, Michael, you were a rock and roll teenager.
Big time.
Who knew this crazy neighbor Pete, mm-hmm. but didn't realize that he was the greatest folk singer of them all.
I grew up next to America's greatest connection to its own musical past, and I had no clue.
So when did the clues start dropping? When did you figure it all out?
Well, you know, when I was a kid in high school, I remember, went to John Jay High School in Hopewell, actually Fishkill, New York, and we had to go on a field trip, and all we knew was going to be a concert. And we went down to the shore of the Hudson River, and there's this tiny little rickety stage with a rickety little sound system, and 2,000 kids sat on a hillside, and this guy with a banjo gets on stage. And we saw that, and we were ready to chew this guy up like fish food and spit him into the Hudson River. And Pete Seeger started singing a song. All I remember was it was something about school sucks. And 2,000 kids started singing on top of their lungs with this guy, and I had never seen that kind of power before. But I didn't know that was Pete. I just thought it was some guy. It didn't connect. When I realized who Pete Seeger was, and this is the guy that I saw, and I called him up, I said, Pete, I just found out you're Pete Seeger. I want to be a folk singer too. And he told me that I needed to go to the Appalachian Mountains. So I landed in a little hamlet. I did what he said. And I ended up in a little hamlet in East Kentucky in the Appalachian Mountains called Mousie, Kentucky, Mousie. Mousie was two mountains away from Minnie, Kentucky. And my cabin was 7/10 of a mile from Booger Branch. And I would go up and down the hollers with my guitar and banjo, knocking on doors, and had hundreds of front porch hootenannies, and they'd pull out their guitars and their fiddles, and
So there really is a musical tradition that goes on in that area.
I forced one. Because there used to be one. I mean, I heard, 32 different stanzas of Shady Grove, and I heard about musicians I had never known before, like Uncle Dave Macon and String Bean, and stories about the days when the Grand Ole Opry would come in over the mountains on AM radio, and I had never heard any of this before. It was fascinating to me. Of course, I was footloose and fiancé free, so that was my folk music education. And Pete Seeger is the one who suggested I go out there.
Very good. And you wound up staying in Kentucky, yes?
Very much so. I loved it. I discovered a beautiful song about tradition and heritage and passing on your name that I was able to record with Odetta. Mm-hmm. And Odetta did this magnificent cosmic otherworldly thing, but with her voice on it. But this is the song, and I found it traveling through those mountains. And I think in an age where America is losing its sense of heritage, this might be a nice song for folks to start singing. Recorded it with Odetta and an 8-piece cello section. I remember the year when my granddaddy died. Gone, are gonna rise again. And we dug his grave on a mountainside. Gone, are gonna rise again. I was too young to understand the way he felt all about the land. But I could read his history in his hand. He said, gone, gonna rise again. And there's corn in the crib and apples in the bin. Gone, are gonna rise again. Hay in the loft, cotton in the gin. Gone, are gonna rise again. You got ham in the smokehouse, hogs in the trough. You know he never had a lot, but he worked like a mule for the little that he got. He said, gone, are gonna rise again.
Wonderful song. I think Cy Conn.
That is Cy Conn's tune. Of course, he calls it Gone, Gonna Rise Again, and he plays it in D major. And as I joke around with Cy, it's on an album called New Wood. I thought the song was called New Wood. So when Odetta, if you go to YouTube and look up Michael Jonathan Odetta, the song's called New Wood because that's what we thought it was called. And of course, I play it in D minor, which I like better. So I tell Cy, I say, I play it right wrong.
Now, listen, wood, I mean, we're all about Woody.
Yeah.
You seem to be all about wood. You have, your book is called Wood Songs, mm-hmm. and your program is
Wood Songs.
Wood Songs. So what's wood, where does that come into your thinking?
You know, I was sitting in the basement workshop of a luthier friend of mine named Homer Ledford, and he was building dulcimers, and we were talking about songs, and the idea of wood and songs was there. And I thought it was a better word than folk singer, not because I don't love it. And I'm very brazen about referring to myself as a folk singer, even on national television, national radio, every week on Wood Songs. Michael Jonathan is a folk singer. But when it comes to the music, there's such a misunderstanding of its beauty, of its legacy, of its organic reach into families and communities. It's the music of the front porch pulpit. That's what folk music is. And I thought Wood Songs is a contemporary complementary way to describe folk music. And that's why I used the word Wood Songs and it caught on. It became I hate to sound all McDonald's, but it became sort of like a brand. It became associated with what we did.
Right. And it's interesting because I came to the title of this program pretty much the same way. My first thought, remember this was, I was at a classical music station.
That's right.
I thought of the contemporary folk scene as reflected in the folk song. I don't know. I came up with all these pompous titles. And finally, I said, you know, that's ridiculous. I'm going to call it Woody's Children.
And that was the right thing for you to do. And in a lot of ways, Wood Songs is a tribute to Woody Guthrie and the legacy he started. And I remember calling Pete Seeger up and saying I was going to do this. I said, Pete, I'm ripping off Rainbow Quest. And we're going to add hundreds of people in the audience. And it's going to be the same idea, sitting around with artists, and they're going to play their songs. And we're going to talk about it. And I'm going to name it Wood Songs. partly because of Woody Guthrie. And Pete Thot gave us his blessing.
You mentioned Front Porch, and you've actually, I think you referred to Front Porch, Hootenannies, and one of, I think, the great new songs that anybody has written is your Front Porch song. Tell us how that came to be.
Well, the more transient America became, and the more troubled America got, and the farther away America became from its own roots and its own heritage. And I was, as I travel around, and I do, you know, 80 concerts a year all over North America, and I, that's a lot of traveling. And I started noticing, like, in new developments, they don't even build front porches on homes anymore. The great feng shui welcome to your friends and neighbors in a new home is your garage door. The thing you leave by is what welcomes your friends. And years ago in America, the front porch, it was the great pulpit of a community. It's where families gathered, and it's where friends would get together. They'd pick and they'd sing, and rural America was built on the music of the front porch. And so as I thought about it, I realized there were three analogies that the front porch fit: the literal front porch on your home, the emotional front porch when you find the love of your life, and then something that we desperately need around the world right now. It's a front porch around the world. There's a front porch round the old home place. All my troubles disappear without a trace. And children play all summer long. The world feels right like nothing's wrong. And fireflies dance on a starry night round the old front porch tonight, round the old front porch tonight. And there's a front porch round my true love's eyes. I could sit and watch that girl all my life. And in her eyes, this world feels right. And she's a gentle and a peaceful sight. And since the day that girl became my wife, I've had a front porch round my life. I've had a front porch round my life. We need a front porch round the world. We need a front porch round America. We gotta slow it down and learn to set a spell. Start serving lemonade instead of hell. I wish these leaders could outlaw fear. I wish they'd lead from a rocking chair. We need a front porch round the world. We need a front porch round the world. We need a front porch round the world.
Such a wonderful song. It speaks to humanity, it speaks to community, speaks to love, and does it all most eloquently.
Well, thank you, Bob. Love is the greatest transaction of the arts, and I believe that most of the music world forgot that. And there's more passion that comes from your doing things from your heart than there is from your wallet. And if I may, I would like to use an example. The Wood Songs broadcast is completely from top to bottom all volunteer run. I get nothing to do Wood Songs. The artists who come on the show, everyone from Judy Collins to Roger McGuinn, Odetta did the show four times, Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, Chris Thiele, who's now doing Prairie Home Companion, has been on Wood Songs nine times. None of them get a nickel. The crew is all volunteer. The theater's donated. Local hotels put the artists up for free. Local restaurants feed them for free. It goes free to public radio, free to public television, free to American Forces Radio Network. And now you know why folk rhymes with broke.
you remind me of various
passion,
things.
Passion is important.
Passion is important. You, in your book, in your Wood Songs book, uh-huh. actually Wood Songs 3,
yeah,
this is, you speak of love replacing anger.
Yeah.
And you speak of what you call, and I thought it's a marvelous phrase, non-protest protest songs.
Yes.
Front Porch, I think, is a perfect
it's
example
a non-protest
of that.
Protest song,
but
right?
What actually were you driving at when you said down with protest songs, in a sense?
Well, you know, negativity, finger-pointing. Even Bob Dylan fled from his finger-pointing days because it doesn't connect with people. When you reach into somebody's heart, it has to be done with love and kindness and reasoning. And stomping your feet. I mean, don't we right now, aren't we fed up with people losing their temper and stomping their feet and getting angry and yelling at each other and screaming at each other? I mean, the election that gave birth to the current administration was one of the most divisive things I've ever witnessed in this country. And it was brutal. And social media was filled with anger and with hate. And I have a phobia about people yelling at me. If I have a flaw, it's I cringe. I go into fetal positions when somebody starts yelling at me. And watching all the news and the anger. And let me give you an example of a non-protest protest song.
Okay.
This is a... I know you... this is on the banjo. And it has a classical motif to it. I know you have a classical background. But it's very much about people yelling at each other. But it's the poetry is written in a way where it's not pointing fingers, stomping its your feet. It's telling people politely to shut up. So it's called Autumn Song. This October morn is falling gently, my dear, like maple leaves depart the trees when they're falling gently, my dear. So sing to me softly and please speak to me so patiently, for your words can feel like autumn leaves when they're falling gently, my dear. Thank you. So sing to me softly, and please speak to me so patiently, for your words can feel like autumn leaves when they're falling gently, my dear.
Very beautiful. A song that speaks of gently and softly and patiently.
Yeah, love. Indeed. We have to artists need to start using the word love more. They have to stop focusing on money. They have to start focusing on the audience and what connects with them. And that is the best business plan of the arts. Doing things for free, doing good work for free, is better than a hit record. And in this day and age, you're probably not going to get a hit record, so start doing good things with your music. Can I give you an example?
Please.
The best thing Pete Seeger ever did in his career is something he did for free, and that was called the Clearwater. And it not only gave him legions of new fans, but it put him on a plane of tremendous respect worldwide for doing good work. And artists need to learn from that example. Stop imitating Pete's songs. Look at his life and the work he did and imitate that instead. And artists need to pull themselves up by their whiny little bootstraps and stop complaining that they're sitting around and nobody's discovering them, or they're not earning enough in some local bar, and accept the fact that you're going to have a day job. There's nothing wrong with that. And start doing good work with your music.
That's a fascinating idea, but do you think that in our current political and the way the country is divided now, do you think that gently works? Do
yeah.
you think that love works?
Oh, absolutely. Human nature is not going to change. Love is not going to change. The importance of family and hometown and neighbors is not going to change. And I'll tell you something. America's still reeling from 9/11, even though they think they've moved past it. And as a nation, we are hungry more and more for a true, honest, organic, I call it front porch thinking, where home and community becomes more important than anything else. And there is no greater conduit for that message than folk music.
And I think Pete said something very similar. He said, you want to do big things, but you start small. You
yeah.
start with your own area. You start with your own group.
Well, and Pete was right. And that was at a time when, as I pull the banjo off here, that was at a time when there was a music business. We have to be honest with ourselves. There technically is no more music business. Record song royalties are down. I mean, they're issuing 11-cent royalty checks to people now. It's ridiculous. There's no record store chains left in America. Who knew 5 years ago that the biggest retailer of CDs in America was going to be Cracker Barrel? I mean, really? You get a new car, there's no CD player in it. You get a new computer, there's no CD player in it. People download music for free. I mean, artists need to look honestly at the power of what they have. They may not make a living with music, but it can be a powerful part of their life. And if they do it right, if they focus on the heart and love and music, that is the best business plan, and they just might end up with a career because of good work. But they have to stop focusing on the glory and start dealing with the guts. I want everybody to go to songfarmers, with an S, songfarmers.org. And there we show artists a better thing to do with their music in a collapsing musical market.
Songfarmers?
Songfarmers.org. and it's based on the love principle. It's using your music based on the love principle, doing spectacular things. And New York City needs a song farmers chapter. There's 32 of them right now from Vermont to the Virgin Islands, and it's growing tremendously. And we are gathering the Front Porch community nationwide through songfarmers.org.
Well, I'd like to ask you more about that, but we're going to have to take a short break here. Maybe we need another song before we do.
Yeah.
Michael Jonathan, want to exploit you as much as possible since by your own request, we're not paying you anything.
Not a dime. I'm here out of my admiration for Bob Sherman and celebrating his 49th year, and what a beautiful way to say hello to 2018. Since we were talking about Song Farmers, this is the theme song.
Oh, great.
Song Farmers called Song Farmer Blues. My baby and me, your mandolin and fiddle, all night long, maybe we can write a song. It's just me and you, playing song farmer's blues. On a front porch swing, a picking to the rhythm, when my neighbor calls, maybe I can play with you. You don't have to be new, playing song farmer blues. We sing from the heart and we play with a circle of friends. Tune up your old guitar and play all night long. My banjo and me, I could play any tune and make it sound so sweet like a five-string symphony. Well, so can you, playing song farmer blues. We sing from the heart and we play with a circle of friends. Tune up your old guitar and play all night long. This Martin and me, your mandolin and fiddle, playing all night long. No one has to play alone, just me and you, playing song farmer blues. Me and you, playing song farmer blues.
And there's Michael Jonathan's ad for his songfarmers.org.
In my ad, right? Songfarmers.org. Sign up.
Absolutely. And Michael Jonathan signed up to be our New Year's special guest here.
Couldn't be more honored.
And we're going to continue momentarily with the folk songs of Woody's children.